Adam, I vote for the Pittsburgh Penguins to move somewhere else other than the Metropolitan Division, because this is getting silly.
How about the KHL?
It's far enough, right, Nick?
I'll take it.
Let's do it!
Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Brian Compton, Nick Lacalzi, and Adam Rotter here with you in Midtown Manhattan. We're going to chat with Greg Gilbert, former Ranger, in just a little bit. Adam, another bad loss in Pittsburgh. No bueno. 7-2.
Yeah, that was it was a tough one to watch last night. But you know what? I don't put a lot of stock in it. I think they looked beat. Well, they were beat, and they looked beat right from the get-go. They just looked exhausted. Alain Vigneault mentioned that after the game. I'm not sure if that's really an excuse. Everyone's got a tough schedule, but last night, to me, was just a write-off. They've been playing so well before last night that I think you just move past it.
I'll tell you what, if you made it through that whole game without getting paid to watch it, I give you a lot of credit because that was brutal. I'm with you. I think the injuries caught up to them. They started their Christmas break a little early. Hopefully they can get through it for Minnesota. But like Adam said, it's a write-off. You know, that's going to happen 4 or 5 times a year in the NHL when you're missing 3 of your top 6 forwards and your starting goaltender and McDonough plays the way he did. You're just going to get whooped, and they got whooped.
I can't believe AV used the schedule as a crutch after the game. I'm sorry. You got beat by a better team at the end of the day. Everybody is playing this crazy schedule this year. Columbus has won 10 games in a row. Why are you talking about the schedule?
But Columbus has played about 35 games fewer than the Rangers have so far this season, which is, tough for the Rangers now. In theory, that'll be better for them in the stretch run that they'll have, but no one's thinking that far ahead. Here's one other thing about last night. In the third period, they were only down a goal.
3-2 game,
as
yep.
bad as they were playing, as poorly as they were, at a certain point in time, they were still in the game. And then the game got way away from them. And they were never really in the game.
No.
But scoreboard-wise, they were in a position where a bounce ties it, and then maybe, you could find a way to get 1 or 2 points. Like, it didn't work out that way, and the score ended up reflecting how the game, how different the teams were. But at a certain point last night, they were in it.
They had a chance to steal the game. Grabner had the breakaway in the second period where he hit the post. They had another scoring opportunity. I believe that's when the score was 2-1 to make it 2-2. Then Grabner did make it 3-2. And I thought for a second that maybe they would turn it on in the third period and we'd see a little bit of what we saw earlier in the year when they went through some of their slump as well. But the answer by Pittsburgh, they just snuffed it out right away. I think it was the fourth goal for Pittsburgh where it went up McDonough's back and over the shoulder from behind the goal line. And that just seemed to completely deflate the Rangers even more than they were coming into the game or through the first 40 minutes. But like you said, they hung around when they shouldn't have, and then the wheels just collapsed.
Aren't you guys a bit concerned that maybe these guys are just in their heads at this point? It's even for a bit, like Nick said, and then the Penguins, we've seen this already before this year.
Yeah, I'm more a little worried that I was glad Henrik Lundqvist didn't play last night because I was afraid that, Henrik's been really good since he came back, and he's really, really struggled against the Pens in his last 10 or 11 starts. Right. So I was glad that he didn't have to face the brunt of that, but they also beat the Penguins a few weeks ago, 5-2. So I think the Rangers, in their minds, they know they can play with the Penguins. I just think that they know that they haven't played up to their potential against them.
You could sniff a bit of a clunker coming. I agreed with the move to play Raanta and not have Lundqvist in there because I would not have wanted him giving up 5 or 6 goals when he finally looks like he's back on track. And look, when Henrik Lundqvist is Henrik Lundqvist, I'm not that afraid of the Pittsburgh Penguins because we've seen him. There was a stretch where the Rangers beat Pittsburgh quite a few times. Yeah. McDonough's got to be better. That's the key, I think, is McDonough's got to be able to shut down one of those lines, whether it's the Crosby line or the Malkin line, because if they're both going, the Rangers have no chance.
Our boy Josh Saviano went off on Twitter after the game.
Yeah, he did.
He and I are in total agreement. We've talked about this before, Adam. Kevin Klein is just – he's really struggling.
He
looks lost.
I don't know why. If Alain Vigneault is going to talk about the schedule, and how condensed everyone is and how many games they're playing and how many minutes everyone's getting.
Yeah.
And the fact that they played two overtime and shootout games, give Adam Clendenning
a
shot.
You have options, right?
You, I'm not saying bench Kevin Klein forever. Give Adam Clendenning a shot. You have options. Like you said, there are other guys who can step in and spell a guy. Why not give Kevin Klein like almost a full week, 10-day break to have him come back after Christmas, hopefully healthy or whatever he's dealing with, unless he's just bad now.
He's a totally different player this year, Nick, and for the worse.
And what's interesting is Alain Vigneault is doing, Adam, what you're talking about with the forwards. They're getting spelled and spotted and pulled and mixed and matched, and they're the ones who have more leeway. You know, they get less minutes a game. There's more depth up front for the Rangers. And on the back end, where these guys are older, they're slower and they're a little bit more broken down, he's not using Clendenning. So, I don't know if it's at practice, but Clendenning's got to do something. Yeah, I get in Vigneault's face and get on the ice. Because
get his face.
Well, come on. I mean, how many games in a row can he be sad? Put him on the ice.
I understand. I don't think he's going to get in his face.
Not get in his face, but get a meeting or something and say, look,
what do I need to do to play?
Give me a game. Like you said, Klein went from having a career year a year ago, really, to maybe his worst year as a Ranger. He fell off a cliff.
He really did.
I mean, we're not talking he rolled down a molehill. He fell off the Grand Canyon.
And there's no real explanation for it. Like, he was, I think maybe all of the minutes, because he was the one guy who, for part of last year at least, was healthy, and he was shouldering all those tough minutes when McDonough was still struggling, and obviously Girardi had a tough year. And I think that maybe it's all just caught up to him, and I think that he needs a break, he needs a reduced role, and I think hopefully the best-case scenario is you kind of treat Kevin Klein as if you're just kind of holding him for the playoffs.
Strained groin for Rick Nash. Should we be concerned here, fellas? Is this something that could linger on over the second half of the season? What do you think?
It sure didn't look like it from his first groin injury to now, and you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, it's not like a broken foot. It's like when guys have hamstring injuries, like they come, they go. And hopefully, you know, this extra break, you know, they can figure out what's going on and deal with it.
The break is key because you can't have it nagging.
Yeah. If this is going to happen, the timing's good.
Yeah, exactly. But now let them rest up, even if it means sitting them a few extra games and losing a few points in the standings. Because the last thing you need is another Rick Nash playoff injury excuse when push comes to shove. It's the last thing you need.
And that's something I would have preferred AV using last night instead of the schedule. You're really banged up up front. Talk about that instead.
Well,
talk about
every time you talk about guys being banged up.
Everybody has injuries, right?
Everyone's got injuries, and it's another opportunity for guys to come in. And, you know, Matt Pumple scored last night. It's like, yeah, we get it. But last night you could really see a team that was missing their best offensive player.
They were outclassed. Maybe Vigneault just didn't want to say it. Maybe he didn't want to say, we got outclassed. Our 20 didn't belong on the ice with their 20. When push comes to shove, the Rangers don't have a forward at this point in time with Zibanejad and Nash out, and maybe even with them, that are on the level of Crosby and Malkin, and you may even be able to put Phil Kessel in that class as well.
And it's a ways away, but I think you're seeing now, not just with how good the Penguins are, but what's going on around this division. The Rangers are probably better off being a wildcard team and going through the Atlantic if they're going to go on a serious playoff run.
Yeah, and I think Larry Brooks wrote about that, and it's just like one of those things where it's like, yeah, well, maybe. The Atlantic certainly looks easier. They've beaten Carey Price before, so, you know, maybe that's the road.
That would be interesting. I mean, you never play to lose, but hey, if Nash needs an extra game or two here and there, you know?
How's that working out for the Islanders now?
Oh, no. My God. Unbelievable. You know who else is unbelievable? Sidney Crosby. Still the best player in the league, fellas. He is.
Without a doubt.
And not a knock on Connor McDavid. Someday Connor McDavid will be the best player in the NHL. For now, it's Sidney Crosby.
To me, what catches my eye is he does it. I feel like you see a different highlight of Sidney Crosby scoring a different goal from a different spot, a different way every night. It's almost like he's inventing different ways to score, banking it in off people. The deflections, top corner from all over the ice, through the legs, bouncing pucks, off guys' backs. It's not like Sidney scored 20 just clean wrist shots, beating the goalie or one-timers on the power play. He is doing it in every possible way imaginable.
And it's his work ethic, too. He works for everything he gets.
He's probably the hardest worker in the league. He's obviously one of the most talented players. And it just kind of looks like Mike Sullivan just lets him do whatever he wants. And then because of that, he's a magician.
We have Greg on the phone. Greg, Brian Compton, and Nick Lucchese here in New York. How are you?
Very good, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing great. Thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it. Not sure if you caught the game last night, but the Rangers were once again outclassed by these Penguins.
Yeah, it was a tough one, and a tough one for the goalies, that's for sure. Antti Raanta's been playing unbelievable for you guys, and it was a tough night for him to handle.
Greg, what's your take on the Rangers so far this season? I think expectations were a little lower coming in, and then they shot out of the gate, and they've been raised a little, and now you're seeing them maybe fall back to earth a tad. You think they got a chance to make a run this season?
Yeah, I really do. I think they've got all the pieces of the puzzle, and they've proven that with their play up to this point. And, when you look at the National Hockey League the way it is now, I mean, just about every team in the league has had their ups and downs. I mean, Columbus, great example, had the opposite start. They were in the tank early, and look where they sit now. So, every team in the league goes through ups and downs, and Rangers have been a little inconsistent lately. But when they get their game back, the success they had early in the season was because they were playing a total 200-foot game as five-man units out there, even strength, and their specialty teams were outstanding also. They'll rebound, they'll get it going again, and head in the right direction.
Greg, as a coach, how impressed were you with the way Alain Vigneault handled the goaltending situation? I mean, to have the Stones, as we said last week, to sit Henrik Lundqvist four games in a row with the way Antti Raanta was rolling, and now obviously Hank has responded pretty well.
Yeah, well, I don't see what the issue is. I think it may have been a blessing in disguise with Henrik getting the opportunity to rest, and I know he wasn't happy about it, but it's something that you got to do. You got to ride the hot hand, and Raanta was unbelievable for those that stretch there, and giving the team an opportunity to win. So when you have that opportunity, especially at this time of the year where Henrik's, I think, played 24 or 25 games already, a week and a half or a week off and then getting back at it is not a bad thing because, it helps cure some of the bumps and bruises that he's probably got. And obviously he's probably got more after that hit the other night. But outstanding goaltending tandem, so you can't go wrong either way.
Let's go back to that hit the other night. What's your take on that? Were you disappointed that nobody responded?
Well, I think in today's game, the opportunity. You've got a power play situation. Unfortunately, I don't think they capitalized. But, to respond and take 17 minutes because you're going to get an instigator for even looking at the guy the wrong way nowadays. Distance travel, whatever they want to call it. So you got your instigator, you got your 5 minutes, plus you got a 17 or 10 minutes for your 17. So, good hockey teams and hockey players have memories like elephants, and if they play these guys again, I'm sure there may be a little something said or something done to a little bit of retribution for that. But the game has totally changed from what it used to be. And, for somebody to jump at it, I mean, something could have been done. There's no question about it. There's no better opportunity to do it. But to say I'm surprised that it didn't happen, no, I'm not surprised at all.
Greg, where do you stand on that as far as goalie contact? I mean, there's some – I was on Twitter as soon as the hit happened just to get everybody's take, and some people seem to think, goalies are hockey players too. If they're going to go behind the net to play the puck, then, they're basically taking the risk of being hit. What do you think?
Well, again, we're going back a different decade of the game, and, if it had been Billy Smith out there and somebody was coming
out. Oh, yeah, good luck with that.
I'm sure the guy would have either been decapitated or swallowed a coho. So it's a different world. But, I think the players now, with all the hits to the head and what's going on, the hits from behind and the injuries that are happening from it, they've got to really learn to respect each other a little more. And there's always ways to punish an opponent without, popping the elbow to his chin or leaving your feet to hit him in the head or things like that. So, it's a different game. And as for the goalie, sorry, I didn't mean to get off track there with
that's
the question.
Right.
But, you have to respect the goalies. I mean, if they're going to come out and play, yeah, it's one thing to slash their stick or do something, but to run them over like
right. Oh, yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, like Henrik got hit the other night was ridiculous. And, in the old days, somebody would have probably taken it to task, the gentleman that hit him. So, and it wouldn't have been pretty. So, it's a different game, different style. And I think goalies should be able to get out there and play it. But I think the players have to have respect for that position also.
Do you think Henrik was disappointed at all that nobody did anything? Can that do anything for the room? You know, and in a negative way, I guess, is the way I'm trying to lead you there. Will he be mad that no one stood up for him?
Well, you know what? That's something that you'd have to ask him. I'm not inside his head, but I think if it had happened to me, you'd be kind of a little bit upset, I think, or you'd be thinking about it that nobody took the guy to task. But, you know, on the other hand, like I described earlier, it's a different game now. And
yeah.
There's a time and a place for everything. And if you remember numbers, when you play that team again, then, you know, retribution can probably happen. And hopefully it's not dirty. It's just a good, you know, toe the line and two guys drop the gloves to you know, answer the situation. But he may have been, but I don't think he was. I think he was more focused on getting the cobwebs out of his noggin and coming back and winning the game. And he was unbelievable for the rest of the evening in that contest.
He sure was. Let's switch gears, Greg. You're a phenomenal piece of trivia, the only player to ever win a Stanley Cup with the Islanders and the Rangers. Can you kind of compare and contrast going to the Islanders, a dynasty, and trying to, you know, find your way with you know, six or seven Hall of Famers, whatever it was, and then playing for the Rangers, a team that was trying to get over the hump and end the 54-year hex?
Well, I mean, obviously, even being drafted by the Islanders, I never thought I'd ever get an opportunity to play for them when you look at the roster. But, you know, stranger things happen. And I was so lucky to break in with that organization. And I started down in Indianapolis in the old Central League, and I was there for a couple months. And, you know, then I had the opportunity to come up, and I fortunately stuck with the club. So, but the guys that I played with and beside, I learned so much from, you know, the Trotsky's, Bossy's, Gore. I mean, I can go right through that whole roster, and I learned something from every one of those guys. And, you know, coming out of junior, learning how to prepare and how to perform and what's expected of you day in and day out, whether it be practice or a game. And, you know, I was very fortunate and thankful to have that opportunity. And then you go to 94 with the Rangers, and we just had a team that was built to win. You know, we had every piece of the puzzle, every line that was out there, and every defense pairing that was out there was built with a purpose. And, you know, when we played, obviously we had our ups and downs that year a little bit, but, you know, leading wire to wire, everybody knew what their job was. It was an experienced team outside of maybe three or four guys. So everybody knew what their role was, what their job was, and every night you walked through that door, you knew you had a chance to win.
Greg, what was that garden like in 1994?
Oh, it was awesome. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable to be on the ice and be in that uniform and not have people throwing something at you. Wearing the other one was a blessing. But, no, you know what? It was unbelievable, and it was such a great feeling for the guys in the room and the coaching staff and the organization to bring that championship to New York. And, you know, the storied franchise that the Rangers have been for decades. You know, I was very fortunate to be a part of that team that went all the way and won it for them. But unbelievable fans, unbelievable support, and unbelievable experience.
Greg, with all the pressure that was on you guys to win that championship, what was it like in the room after the third period of Game 7 against New Jersey? The Devils get that late goal. I think it was Zalapukin with like 5 seconds left to send the game to overtime. With all the pressure, what did you guys talk about in the room? Were you guys down? Was it like, hey, let's go? What was the atmosphere like in the room?
Well, you couldn't be down. I mean, if you're down and you're feeling sorry for yourself, there's going to be another one end up in your net. So, you know, we were a confident crew and a confident group, and we knew exactly what had to be done, and we had to stick with how we played. And, you know, we didn't do anything spectacular, just, you know, we wanted to funnel pucks to the net. We wanted to challenge Brodeur and guys like that, and obviously Steph came in with the wraparound and found a way to score. But, you know, we stuck with our game, and maybe we outwilled them, but it was a heck of a series.
All right, staying with the Devils and 94, what was it like when Mess guaranteed the win going into that game and then got the hat trick?
Yeah.
Well, thank God it was Mess. No, you know what? I think he maybe has saw something with us as a group that, you know, it's not that our heads were down, but we were maybe starting to question a little bit. And I think he took the focus of that right away from all of us by saying, you know, guaranteeing the win and what have you. And, you know, it just showed that he is our captain and our leader, believed in us, and we had to start believing in ourselves again. And obviously we went out that night and Mess had to, you know, he put the show on. I mean, there's no better story or movie script that you can write than that one. But you know, stayed in the series and obviously won it at home. But I think he just saw something in the room and just found a way to say something that would perk us up, get our heads up, and get us going in the right direction.
How often do you think about your playing days, Greg, and just all the guys that we've been talking about, Messier and all the guys on the Islanders, Potvin, Bossy, Trotty? I mean, do you just say to yourself, holy smokes, you know, I was pretty lucky to have this kind of career, right?
Yeah, there's no question. And you know, you get up in the morning and the bumps and bruises are still there some days, so you remember it quite well. But, I was very fortunate to have the career that I had and to play as long as I did and to play with you know, the great players that I was fortunate to play with. It's something that I'll never forget, obviously. But it's a couple decades past now. So getting up there in age, the memory's going, but no, it's a lot of fun to remember those days and talk about, especially when you get together with a few guys. It's like you never left. Everything that's built into those memories happened, or you seem like they just happened the other day.
Last thing before we let you go, Greg, I mean, you've coached at every level. You eager to get another opportunity, regardless of where it is, or what's your thought process there?
Yeah, no, I'd love to get back into the game and coach. I love coaching. Even to get back in as scouting or in some capacity to help some organization be successful. You know, as a coach, I love being on the ice with the players and hopefully teaching them something and helping them become the players that they want to be. And you know, teaching through your experiences and the changes in the game and the rules and what have you. But that's my passion. That's my love. And there's no question I'd love to get back.
Well, good luck, Greg. We really appreciate a few minutes. All the best, my man.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much and have a happy holiday.
Same to you. Thanks, Greg.
Take care.
Thank you. Greg Gilbert, the only player on the face of the earth to win the Stanley Cup with the Islanders and the Rangers. That's a great piece of trivia, Adam.
It's really one of the most fascinating things. And I don't know that he'll be the only one ever, but
the way this is going,
the way things are going, he might have that distinction for quite
some time.
Really cool stuff for sure. I'm glad we talked about the Lundqvist hit with Greg. I was not obviously a fan of it. And as I brought up with him, look, and then Greg brought it up as well. You can't hit Hank the way that he can hit him. That's ridiculous. But should goalies be somewhat fair game if they're going to go behind the net to play the puck?
I think that if they're outside of the trapezoid, yes. But if they're within the trapezoid and maybe you make the trapezoid smaller, I think that you have to protect them in some way because I don't think Lundqvist knows how to prepare himself for a thing like that.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I don't think Eakin's intention was to hit him in watching the replay. Right. I think Hank mishandled it and they both got caught. But for no Ranger to respond was the thing that bothered me the most.
Somebody should have crane kicked him like
Ralph Macchio, somebody's got to do something.
With a skate?
Maybe. That's the franchise that they knocked out.
Are you guys going to get a Ralph Macchio bobblehead at Barclays Center Friday night?
Only if I can, you know, draw over the Islander jersey part of
it. Wow.
I just want you to wear a karate uniform.
I'm just pumped as all hell to have Ralph on the Islanders Point by podcast with Mike Carver. It's going to be great.
That is exciting. I'm going to have to tune in.
It's pretty awesome, right?
It continues our streak of 80s guests, too.
It really does. You can check out the Islanders Point by podcast with myself and Mike Carver. Ralph Macchio is going to give us a buzz this week. Subscribe to the SMY.TV audio network to download the Islanders Point by podcast, along with this show and the rest of our original podcasts. New Year's resolutions for the Rangers. Before we go, fellas, for me, I want to see Pavel Buchnevich healthy. And I want to see him stay healthy because I'm a little concerned that this is going to be one of those guys, kind of like what we're seeing from Rick Nash as of late. He's on the ice for two games, and then he's out for 2 weeks.
Yeah, the Buchnevich thing is really interesting because whether it's his core, you know, it seems like he's got an actual back problem, but when it was his core, it was like, he was here all summer. Why didn't you guys do this then? Yeah. Why didn't you figure it out then?
I just think he wasn't big enough to go through a full season in the NHL. We saw, there were pictures of him that showed how frail he is. I think he's just a young kid who's got to put on weight. And I'm not that worried yet. I'm not pushing the panic button. My resolution, I think AV needs to switch up the power play a little bit. I want to see Chris Kreider in a shooting position. He finally developed a shot where he's hitting the net consistently. He's picking corners. I want to see him using it more, and I want to see him using it more on the power play.
I don't think that happens until Nash is back. Mine, though, coincidentally, is keeping Rick Nash healthy. It's similar.
That would be nice.
It's similar to what you said, Brian. Like, Rick Nash has shown he's still their best offensive player, and you just can't afford to lose him.
Mika Zibanejad, we need him back on the ice as well.
He's out of his boot. He's walking now.
There you go.
Now.
Progress. The Rangers need some of these forwards back and healthy.
They really, if they can just stay steady until they get healthy and by, you know, mid-February kick it back into gear, I think that's really best case scenario right now. Just tied through these injuries.
I think that it seems likely that they might have everyone back pending any other injuries around All-Star break or around this time that their bye week, the vaunted bye week is coming up.
It is. Fellas, happy holidays. Enjoy. We're not going to be here next week. We're gonna have our bye week. How does that sound? So we'll take a bye week.
We are definitely in need of one.
Yeah, we sure are. Thanks again to Greg Gilbert. Happy holidays, everybody. See you next year.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.